Good morning. Welcome all of you this morning to our worship service. I'm Larry Gilbert, pastor here at the church. Glad to have all of you here this morning. We are so excited to have each and every one of you this morning. You know what's a real blessing on Sunday morning? When the sanctuary gets full enough, somebody sits in your seat. That's a real blessing. We're not quite there yet, but you know what? We're praying for that. We're praying for that. It's so much fun to watch people stand there and just look like. Don't they know? But we are not there yet, but we're going to get there, hopefully. So we're excited to have you here this morning. Welcome you. Welcome those of you who are watching online this morning. Glad to have you here as well. We're going to open this morning with our gathering chorus, number 176, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Purchasing for the food, so we'd need that. The time will be forthcoming, and that will also be Scout Sunday. We have flowers on the altar presented by Billy Raj. It's time for, do you have any other announcements that we need to share? Yes.
Little clarification or misunderstanding there. The 12th is the second Sunday breakfast that the Scouts on Scout Sunday will provide. Oh. So our pancake breakfast for the fundraisers actually doesn't have a date yet, but it's going to be in April sometime. But this one's free. So most importantly, if we could, we've not had a great attendance with just the donuts and stuff, but if we could get a number of, or at least an approximate number of people that will attend that breakfast, we'll have biscuits and gravy and some kind of an egg casserole, I'm sure, and different things. So it's been well attended in the past. Hopefully our attendance will come back some for that. But if we could kind of get a number so we can somewhat have a number of people that they can prepare for. Thank you.
So, John, is that February 12th?
Yes. It's still second Sunday. That is Boy Scout Sunday, and they usually provide the breakfast.
Okay.
With COVID, that's kind of changed.
Any other announcements?
hopefully I didn't miss this, but we are planning the movie night for the 28th, Saturday the 28th, the day before the potluck. So we haven't picked the movie, I don't think, but stay tuned.
And I'm sure these will be on the website, on the
yes.
calendar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Time to move to the lighting of the worship candles.
Maybe at home you have a candle and would like to light it with us to celebrate the light of Christ there with you. Please join me in the call to worship.
Principles are like foundation stones. We build our lives on them.
Good ones make us strong and secure.
Bad ones make us weak and vulnerable.
May our principles
reflect the God we worship and serve. Join in the opening hymn, 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness, stand in part or posture.
Thank you.
If you would, if you can find your little book there in the hymn or in the hymnal holder in front of you, we're going to sing together number 2226, Bind Us Together, the chorus we sing every Sunday. So let's sing together, Bind Us Together. Spend a little bit of time praying about our future as individuals, our future in the life of the church. We offer a little bit of time to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. You know, one of the things I celebrate, it's going to be here a little later on in the worship service this morning, is the growth that God is bringing to our choir. And I have thanks for Danielle, who has hung in there through seasons of good and bad and has been a faithful person in the midst of this season. But what a blessing they are to our worship service. We're so glad to have them. There's also something really important going on right now. The cabinet is meeting, which means the bishop and the district superintendents are meeting, and they are working on appointments. They are assigning pastors to fields of service and congregations in which they will serve. That's going to affect us. And so I want to invite us this morning to be praying about that process. And I want to challenge you to lift that up every day in your devotional times or in your prayer times or as you gather for a meal or whenever it is that you might spend time in prayer during the day. I want you to lift up the bishop and the district superintendents and ask that they receive wisdom around direction, around appointment making, and that they can be obedient in terms of following God's guidance and direction. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you for life that you're breathing into our congregation and into each of us individually. God, we're excited about that. We see your hand at work, and we just want to praise you for that this morning. We just want to honor you for that this morning, for your faithfulness to answer our prayers. And Lord, so we bring a new prayer before you. We're praying for leadership and for guidance, God. And we're praying for the individuals, the men and the women who are responsible for that. We lift up our bishop. We lift up our superintendents, Lord. We pray that you would give them wisdom and grace as they move through this process. We lift them, Lord God, up to you. Help them, Lord, to discern your will, not only for the life of our congregation, but for the life of all the congregations to which they have oversight. So, Lord, we lift this up to you. We pray for your ongoing guidance, Lord, in our world and in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
It's time for prayer requests, joys, concerns.
Yes, I'd like to ask for prayer for my niece. She just found out she has cancer. She starts treatment tomorrow, actually. I would appreciate prayers for her. Name's Debbie.
Lida, and I do have a prayer request for a very special friend of ours. He has been diagnosed with reoccurring cancer. And at this time, I don't feel like I should mention his name, but just keep a friend of ours in prayers. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everyone who helped out with the Stanley funeral dinner yesterday. I believe that it went over very well, and that could not have happened without everybody. They were very pleased, very happy to be here. They felt like they were at home when they were here, and that's what that was all about. And I can't thank everyone enough for all of your help and your prayers for the Stanley family. I have a prayer again. We got a message that Dusty and April were coming home from the hospital Friday night after I sent the e-blast out, and they came home. She was home for a little bit, and she went back. They sent her back home yesterday. They went back to the hospital last night about 10 o'clock. She is not doing well. So they now have diagnosed her with postpartum preeclampsia. She will be in the hospital for quite a while, several more days beyond just a 24-hour stay and getting things under control. She will be in there for a while. So John and I just want to have you all keep Dusty and April, and the baby keeps going back with her because she's trying to nurse, so that's a stressor on her, and being away from her other two kids is a stressor on her. None of this is easy. So I just kind of want to be sure we keep them lifted up in prayer this week because they're back there again. Thank you.
I have two concerns. A good friend of mine up in St. Louis had serious surgery Thursday, and I would like for you to keep Bob in your prayers. And also, my son David, who lives in Topeka, is flying to Atlanta, in some little town close to Atlanta, to help out at Home Depot Distribution Center. And the way flights are today, I pray that he gets there safe and sound. So if you keep David in your prayers, please.
I also want to elaborate on the service yesterday for Terry, especially at the dinner when the Boy Scouts table was set up and we did the introduction. What was the Scout oath? Being a Scout mom, you'd think I'd remember that by now. But it was just wonderful because Terry Stanley influenced our three sons to get into Scouting. And they are all, they have used those skills through life and survival for the one who hiked the trail. And also for our oldest son who is continuing in Scouts, even though Tristan is long past the age. And, of course, he's gone on to heaven. But, yeah, we also have another son in Marion who's Scoutmaster. So the influence of a man can make a difference in the lives of many for many years to come. And Terry Stanley was that one person. And thank you to everyone who's standing beside us. Thank you.
I would add just one thing to Terry, that his history, and it wasn't mentioned, but Terry faithfully served as a Sunday school teacher he was teaching when we arrived in Carterville 37 years ago, and it hasn't been all that long ago that he had to relinquish that. So,
I want to, well, first, first, pray for me on this next hymn, because I'm not really sure how that's going to go. But but honestly, the as Larry mentioned, just the growth of the choir, we're kind of back to pre-COVID numbers, and that's really awesome. And they've helped to, as I've said to them in the past, help to rejuvenate me a bit, and that's been a blessing. Jenny's joined us. Bob is back. One of Olivia's, or her like lifelong bestie, pretty much has joined us as well. For those of you that know or remember Bruce Kroll, that this is his granddaughter. This is Emily and Jennifer's daughter. And so, and they attend, and they belong to another church, but there's not much musically going on there, and a daughter of Bruce Kroll's needs a little more music in her life. So she's joined us, and so we're really glad to have her. And so it's nice to be back to those numbers again, and that doesn't mean we're done. You can keep joining us.
Are there any others this morning? All right. We're going to move into a time of prayer together this morning, and as always, I invite you to be in prayer in your pew. I also encourage you, if you'd like, feel free to come and join me at the altar rail this morning as we spend time in prayer together. I think we can work around the flowers and arrangements this morning if you'd like to come and spend this time with me up here. Let's be in an attitude of prayer this morning. Gracious God, we're thankful this morning for so many things. We're thankful, Lord, that you are here and present with us, fulfilling, Lord, your promise that wherever two or more are gathered, that you would be present in the midst of them. And so you're here. We pray, Lord, that we will open our hearts to that presence today, allow it to touch us, to speak to us, to find a place within our hearts, God, where we can live and dwell. Lord, we're thankful for the time this morning to gather and to be here. We lift that, Lord God, up to you and ask your blessing to be upon it. God, I'm thankful for every person who's gathered here this morning. Lord, I know you know every one of them intimately. You know the joys that are a part of our lives, the concerns, God, that we struggle with. And Lord, we're so thankful for that intimate knowledge. And that every day, Lord, every moment of every day, you are working on our behalf to bring abundant life into our existence. Not just getting by from day to day, but living with joy, living with victory, living every day, God, in the midst of your presence. God, there are so many that we need to lift up this morning in our thoughts and prayers. Those who are grieving this morning, God, we lift them up to you. We know, God, that that isn't something that passes in a day or a week or a month. That when our heart hurts that way, God, we need you to touch it and to bring it peace and to bring it healing and to just walk with us, Lord, through that valley. So for those, Lord, who are grieving this morning, God, we lift them up to you and ask that you would lay your hand upon them. Lord, for those who are struggling with health issues or concerns, God, we lift them up to you. We are thankful, Lord, for those who are healing. We pray for those who are receiving difficult medical news and struggling to deal with that, God. We pray, Lord, for healing that happens in our lives, not just physically, Lord, but in other ways as well. And God, we recognize the fact that a lot of the things we struggle with are not just health issues, God, but there's so many things, God, that can be challenges and difficulties and barriers in our lives. We bring them all before you. God, we pray that you would build our faith and our trust in you. But even when it seems like you're not caring, and even when it seems like you're not present, and even when it seems like our prayers go unanswered, that at a deeper level, Lord, we can know that you are present and your love never ends. And our prayers are heard. And you are working, God, in each and every one of them. So, God, this morning as we gather, we lift our prayers to you. For you are the God who hears our prayers. And, Lord, we join together now in praying together the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
One that is unknown to me, but I know it will teach us. I want a principle within, number 410.
You guys don't know this?
No. Stand.
Do you know it, Howard?
Does anybody know this?
He does.
Nobody knows this hymn. Oh, my word. Howard, you know it? Sing out, buddy, okay? Give us a hand here. Okay, hey, let's play through it once. Dean, play through it once so you can kind of hear how it goes and stuff like that. Man, I didn't know I was breaking something new on you people. All right. All right. I want a principle within. Okay.
Thank you.
first time, people.
Not bad. All right. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray and give God thanks for our offering this morning? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for the presence of those, Lord, who give and support the life of your church. And Lord, we're not just talking about the financial support. And that's important. We need that. But we also need, Lord, the prayer support, and we need the presence support, and we need the gifts of talents and the gifts of caring that are supportive in the life of your church. And so, Lord, for all those who give in so many different ways, we ask your thanks and ask your blessing upon all the gifts that are given. In your name we pray. Amen. The choir is going to sing. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you so much.
It was good to sing. Today's scripture reading is Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The Word of God.
So we're continuing in this series that I started last week about favorite verses of the in the Bible that I just enjoy and have gleaned out of reading over the years. I want to begin by asking this morning, you ever heard the term a penny for your thoughts? Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times we use that term, or that term gets applied to us when you're with somebody, but obviously they are here physically, but they're not here mentally or emotionally. They're drifting off someplace else. Oftentimes I hear that as my wife saying, earth to Larry, earth to Larry, you know, where are you? And so we developed that, a penny for your thoughts, to kind of bring them back, you know, into the presence of where we are. And the question is really, when your mind wanders, where does it go? What are the things that you kind of return to when you're just, you know, you're just kind of out there and kind of oblivion, not really focused on anything? When you lay down at night and you're have a few moments before you drift off to sleep, where does your mind go? What do you start thinking about? What do you begin to think about? Now, it's different. Now, I usually lay down and my head hits the pillow in about 60 seconds, I'm out. But some people aren't like that. You got a little bit of time to kind of unwind and think about. What do you think about in that time period? And do you find yourself going to similar things, you know? What do you think about when you're doing something that doesn't require all of your mental energy, like, you know, you're driving on a long stretch of interstate and you've got it on cruise and the traffic's not very heavy and your mind can wonder, what do you think about? Where do you go in that period of time? What kind of thoughts come back to you? When you're running the vacuum that is not all the terribly mind-consuming, you know, and you're back and forth and back and forth, and what are you thinking about? Where does your mind go? Mowing the yard. I love to mow the yard because it's immediate gratification, but it's not very mind and stimulating. What do you think about when you've got that time and the brain is not busy and it just wanders and likes to go someplace? How often is it in those moments that we begin to think about things that we are concerned about, issues that are coming up, problems that we're trying to resolve and work through? Things that are a part of our lives that are not quite the way we'd like for them to be. Or maybe things that have happened that we wish had been different. We find ourselves drifting into those kind of thoughts and circumstances. Twice in Teresa and our marriage, we have added large additions onto a house that we've owned. And by large, I mean 1,200, 1,400 square feet, kind of a small house, you know. And usually it worked with a contractor to get that kind of weathered in, and then I take off on it, you know. So I do the plumbing and I do the electrical, I do the wall finishing, I do the insulating, not in that order, I hope. And I do the trim work and stuff. And so it takes a long time. And during those seasons, I'm really kind of consumed with that process. My mind is always going there. And I say us, we work on that together because I do a lot of the physical stuff. But Teresa puts up with all of the inconvenience. You know, she talks me off the ledge a number of different times. And, you know, and she makes thousands and thousands of little and big decisions along the way. So it really is a joint process when we do that. But I find it's all consuming. I'm thinking, okay, if I do this in this order, which is the hardest part and what can I do in that way? Or I get to something, I'm just like, I don't know how to do that. Where can I research that? Where can I discover how to do that? Or the most important part is, when I get to that, what tool am I going to need and that I can buy in order to be able to use that? And so I'm just immersed in that. And it's what I think about. It's where my mind goes all of the time in that process. But when it doesn't, where does it go? Where does your mind go? Where do we go to in that type of thing? A lot of times I think we are consumed by concerns that we have and problems that we go to. Our mind drifts there. We think about maybe problems at work or business or whatever it might be. How are we going to deal with that? How are we going to handle that? I don't have an answer to that yet. Where is that going to come from? You know, sometimes I think a lot of us sometimes think about relationships. We think about relationships we've had that we've lost. We think about relationships that maybe aren't the way that we'd like for them to be. We think about things that we've done that's probably not been helpful in that. And we think about things that other people have done that have not been helpful. And we wonder about, can we fix it? Can we ever make it right? Can we bring it back together? Sometimes it's a friend or a coworker or a neighbor. Sometimes it's a colleague. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's a son or a daughter or a grandchild, or sometimes it's a spouse. And we worry about it. We think about it. And every time our mind is not consumed with this or with something, it drifts there. And we find ourselves pondering that and wondering about it. Sometimes it's health concerns. We've got news that we don't like. We've been told something that we're concerned about. We're waiting on something, and it seems like it's taking forever, and we find ourselves going there all of the time, trying to think about that, trying to work through that process and work with that. And what happens sometimes is if we can't resolve it, if we can't find that answer, then, you know, it becomes not concern, it becomes worry, and we worry about it, and it burdens us, and it drags us down. We get frustrated with it, and you know, over time, our frustration becomes irritation, and it becomes anger, and we find ourselves being irritable and short, and it just kind of builds up over time. One of the things that Paul is trying to do in this text today is Paul is trying to give us a filter for our lives, a filter for our worlds, and a filter for our minds. He's using a group of terms. He's using a set of principles to think about ourselves and our world. I want to share the verses that come right before this in this reading in Philippians. And Philippians is a really short book, but it is filled with just amazing gems of Scripture. And so right before this reading, Paul writes to the Christians at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always again. I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, yet let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is stressing to those individuals how to deal with the things that lay upon you many times as a burden or as a concern. And then he moves into this text that Leah just read. And that text kind of works, it can work like as a filter in our lives. We all know what filters are. We're surrounded by filters all of the time. It just drives me crazy when that little thing comes up on the refrigerator and says, "Change the filter." You know, I wouldn't mind it if it cost $2, but the thing costs $30. And the reality is, I don't know if it does it every 3 months, regardless of how much I've used it. It just says change the filter, or whether it really needs to be changed, and so I procrastinate and I don't do anything about it, which is probably not right, because filters are important. Your car is filled with filters. You've got an oil filter and an air filter and a cabin air filter, which they like to change all the time. You have fuel filters, you have all those, and they all do the same thing in their own way with their own stuff. And the purpose of a filter is to keep impurities out of the system. To keep impurities out of the system. So if you have a forced air furnace, heating and air conditioning system at your house, it has filters. And if you don't change those filters over time, that deteriorates the use and function of that operation of that system. And eventually, it will allow for the impurities that it's supposed to filter out to get in. Same thing's true with all of that. You get tired of changing those filters, just don't change them. You won't have to worry about it very long because your vehicle won't operate anymore. It'll quit. Because we live in a world that's filled with impurities. Not only from our air and from our oil and from our water, but the kind of impurities that affect our hearts and our minds and our souls. The kind of things sometimes that our mind wanders to when it has no place else to go. And what Paul is saying to us is, if there are things that you bring into you that you think about and that you ponder on, and they don't fall within these principles or this criteria, think about that. Is it true? Because if it's not true, don't waste your time on it. And if you don't know if it's true or not and you can't find out, then don't waste your time on it. Why spend your time thinking about what's not true? Is it right? Is it fair? He goes on to say, is it excellent or praiseworthy? Is it pure? Is it noble? These are like high, high standards, but Paul wants those standards to surround your heart and to surround your mind so that when we're out thinking about something and our mind is wandering and we're 1,000 miles away, but we're right back at the same old thing, Paul is asking us, does it fall within these criterias? Because if it's not, are you sure it's not an impurity in your life? Are you sure that by bringing it into your system, you're not doing damage to it? Does it meet this criteria to be thought worthy? You know, anything we focus on in life gets bigger. You focus on your troubles, they take up more of your time and energy and focus. You focus on your blessings, and they become larger as well. And so Paul says, focus on these things. Focus on these attributes, these principles, this standard, and set them as a filter in your world and in your life. And that whatever you bring in, if it's not part of this, if it doesn't meet this criteria, then challenge it and question it and see about it. Before these verses, Paul simply says, pray about all of it. Because when you and I do that, our focus doesn't become that anymore. It becomes the relationship that we have with God. And when God becomes a greater focus in our world and in our lives, it is always beneficial to us. And so what Paul is offering us today is a way to live, is a way to live our lives in the world in which we live, which is filled with all kinds of impurities. Filter them through this. Before you invest your time in many, before you bring them into your heart and your life and your mind, filter them through this. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, thank you for bringing this, Lord, into our world and into our lives, that we hear it through you, God, that you want to protect us. You want to filter the world through this. and that way build us up individually. Keep our heart and our mind and our soul pure from the impurities of the world that are there only to destroy us and tear us down. Let us put our faith and our trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 402, and we know this one. Lord, I want to be a Christian. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn number 402. I invite you to stand as you are able this morning. Together. Would you bow your heads with me? Almighty and gracious God, send us from this place out into the world, surrounded by a filter of faith that protects our hearts and our lives and our spirit and binds us to you. Let us be free in the world, God, but not consumed by it and not polluted by it. Guard us, guide us, protect us. Send us out into the world to be your light, your yeast, to be your presence in the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, have a great week this week.